I looked at, you know, every once in a while, I looked through the old sermons, you know, from years ago, but whenever I wrote them down. And on this one, I probably wrote more than any other gospel, this one. But you know what? I came to the conclusion there's not too much to say on this one. Because for many people, now just imagine if you knew nothing about Christianity, if this was like a brand new phenomenon to you, you just walked out of the dark place and came into the church for the first time, and first time you ever heard about Christ, and this is the gospel that you heard. Oh, especially if you love your life, if you love the things of this life, and you heard this gospel for the first time, and then you hear, you know what? God is kind to the unselfish, or to the selfish and the ungrateful. He's kind to them. He's merciful. He's gentle. He loves them so much. Even when they brutalize him, right? And when you hear, what good is it if you love somebody just because you're waiting to see the response, what's coming back to you, right? It's not love. It's, well, it's selfishness. So, not only for them, but for many of us, too. This gospel is outrageous. It's outrageous. Like, what? Can you imagine when they first heard that teaching? Be kind to those who hate you. Be generous to those who want to kill you, etc. And you know, it would be just a bunch of words, except you know what? Christ actually did it later on. At the end of his life, he actually did. He accomplished this gospel. So it would be like, you know, just think of this. Let's do just an equally outrageous story. Somebody does something very harmful to you. They destroy your family, whatever. Something really nasty, horrible, which people do to each other these days. It's unbelievable. Like, Even as high as the government and corporations and this and that, everybody's, so somebody does something to harm you. It's like, now listen, if I give them everything that I own, after they did that to me, say, no, take everything. Take my house. You know, it's fine. I don't really need any of this because you need it more than I do. Because I love you, because you've done this thing to me for some reason, and maybe this will help heal the wound between us. Yeah, that's kind of what this gospel's about. Somebody hurts you and destroys you, you give them everything. Okay? You want to hear about the basic kernel of Christianity, which nobody wants to hear. No Christian wants to even hear it most of the time. This is it. If you claim anything else, then let's just say we have work to do. We have work to do in this life. We have confession to do. And you see why confession then would be so important? One thing you confess is, I don't live this gospel. Okay. That doesn't mean you have to sell your house and give all the money to somebody who just, you know, shot you and put you in the hospital. But it does mean that you have to take the next step. And I think many of us, this is where we have some kind of a struggle. We're comfortable. We're cozy. We're cozy. In America, in the United States, in Canada, in the Western world in general, we're cozy. We're comfortable. And we think when something inconveniences us that the whole world has come to an end. And most especially when someone, no such thing as enemies, but our enemy, the one that, you know, has gone out of their way to destroy me, to do something negative to me, that one, when that one does something like this, man, now I have a reason to live again. My reason is, you know, to hate that one, to despise that one, to harm that one, to try to get back at that one, to revenge on that one. Did you hear that in the gospel today? Did you hear that teaching? No. You heard something which was like, well, you know, the Lord himself is kind to the ungrateful and to the selfish. And he's kind to those who harm him. Just let that sit on the air for a minute. Aren't we kind to those who harm us? Now, last night we were reading St. Dorothea's, a beautiful little section. He's talking about, you know, doing good things, but doing them mindfully. In other words, doing them with a mind, do it. Some people, let's take a couple of possible areas. Let's take missionary work. Missionary work is an easy one to sort of dissect. So there are people who do missionary work for millions of reasons. Every kind of reason. They go and they do, you know. And the main reason that anybody, like, look at the reason I'm saying this is look at Gregory. St. Gregory of Armenia. Like, when a missionary goes into a strange land, a pagan land, a crazy land, what happened? They literally gave themselves over to their enemy. Well, not enemy, but to those who might decide that they are your enemy. To give yourself into the hands of strange people, you know, foreign people who have no idea that what you're teaching them, and they may not like what you're teaching them, to give yourself into their hands, to teach them, to love them, to pour yourself out for them, because that's what missionary work is. You can't just say some words. You can't just give your, like, thoughts and then walk away. When you go and missionize, you teach someone, and you live among them, guess what? This is your whole life. And it could be the end of your life at the same time. But you do it because of this gospel. You do it because this is the center of Christianity. The same thing St. Dorothea talks about, the charity that we give. Some people, you know, they give charity because, you know, like, they have to. You know, it's an obligation. It's like a rule or something. I have to give this percentage, you know, whatever. And he said, well, that's not the best reason to offer yourself for someone, to offer your time, to offer your money, to offer your life to someone. Why? Because you have to. I said, it's not bad. I mean, it's not, like, completely wrong. But it's like a baby step. Or maybe you give yourself or your time or your money or your energy or to get something in return. This is what the gospel is mainly about. To give something in return. It's like going to a job. I go to my job. I do work. I might like it. I might not. Hardly matters in terms of, like, the transaction. Because why I'm there is to get the money. To get something back. So, St. Dorothea says, you know, to give with knowledge, to live a Christian life with knowledge, is to give the life completely, with nothing, not because you have to, and not because you're looking for something, like some wage to come back to you. I want to go to heaven, so I better be good. You know? This is like primitive Christianity, like, you know, adolescent Christianity. The best Christianity is to at least step into the final realm, the third, the upper realm, which this is the highest of that realm. But even if we say, I need to do something for the sake of nothing else, except that it gives glory to God, because I love God, and because I really, genuinely love this person, and I could care less what kind of life they're living. I just need to be, like, honored somehow. Well, we care what kind of life they're living, but we don't judge them, like their person, when we're trying to express our love for them, you know, trying to show them what Christianity really is, trying to be Christ. We at least have, like, a million value judgments on whether I'm going to be nice to somebody. So if you can't give, if you don't have any money, Dorothea says, if you don't have any money, be like the widow and give 2 months. And that will be enough. But give them with joy. And if you don't even have 2 mites, at least then spend some time working with them. Like, comforting them, giving them a word, like a gentle word of comfort. When the phone rings, don't roll your eyes. when the phone rings. This is a good practice, you know, for a priest, it's a great practice. Okay, I'm excited, so-and-so's calling me, and I'm going to be on the phone for the next 2 hours. But, you know, it's a good exercise, even for a priest, to say that. Say, you know what, this person is special. They have something that you know, Christ wants me to give them, whatever it is. Or, even if you can't do that, if you don't have the time, if you don't even have that, right? At least how about a good thought, a little prayer, like a tear for the plight of the people in your life. A plight for the people, you know, even that we hear about in the world that they're going through. And they're going through a million things. And people are eating each other and spitting each other out. And there should be like a prayer for that. And the rest is a waste of time. You know, if I complain about it, if I complain about the news, right? People, they say all the time, I stop watching the news. Why? I stop watching the news because I get all worked up, right? So I stop doing this, I stop doing, you know, because I get all worked up. Well, it's not in the news. It's in me why I get worked up. If I would somehow open my heart and think about this, every single negative story that you hear, every time someone hurts someone, whatever it is, every time someone really physically hurts someone, kills someone, right? Do you think you don't have a job to do when you heard that, when you hear that? Maybe that's why you don't want to listen to the news. You don't want to expand your prayer role. Is that it? I listen to the news and I say, okay, now I have a big prayer list for the day. You know, this one hurt this one. So you have two to pray for right there. And I have this world leader and this world government and this, and I have so much to pray for. Don't you? Don't you have something to pray for? And shut your mouth about it all. Except when we open up the channel, let's say, to God. Then you have a lot to say. A lot to say. And a lot to, like, receive, too. You know? What I'm seeing too much is everybody wagging their tongues and nobody opening their hearts. Do you think the Lord, after this gospel, do you think that he would like that? That he appreciates that kind of, like, attack, always attack, everybody on the attack? Do you think the world in his day was any better than it is today? It's just bigger. We have more people. More, like, sophisticated ways of hurting each other. More sophisticated ways of, you know, being selfish. Same principle, same exact, you know, evil. Cosmic warfare, good against evil. That's never changed. If it was different back then, how did he get crucified? How did he get tormented, you know, and tortured? If it was any different. He knows what the year, I want to get the year right, 2018 was going to be like. He knows it. He knows what it's like. He's experiencing, like when he's hanging on the cross, he's experiencing 2018, even then. Right? So he knows what it's like. He feels it and he offers it for your sake, this blood on the cross. For the year 2018, and then next year will be for the year 2019, if we're blessed to make it. That's Christianity. It's a bigger, it's a much bigger question. It's a much huger way of looking at reality. Rather than through the prism of my own opinion. So there's the challenge. Let me stop loving the sound of my own voice and all the things that, you know, I have to hold forth on. Because there's always going to be somebody out there who disagrees with you. So what do you want to do with them? You want to shoot them? Just because you disagree over some issue? Or would you die for them? Would you give them your wealth? Would you give them your fortune? Would you give them your house? Let's see what kind of Christianity we're going to be practicing in this coming year and in this coming, you know, few years for the rest of our life. Because that's what will make a quality life, as opposed to very mediocre, just another person, as if I'm, you know, not going to any church. Anybody can live like that and have an opinion about everything. But hardly anybody can love their quote-unquote enemy. Jesus does. You want to be like Jesus, right? Or do you want to be like everybody else who doesn't care two bits about Jesus, right? That's the question. Do I want to have the quality of love that Christ has? Meditate on that, please. And maybe we don't talk about that enough, you know? Maybe we don't talk about that enough as we're talking to each other. It should get to the point where we hear a negative opinion. It should jolt us, like, it should hurt us, like a stick in the heart of the world. Oh, ouch. How did that happen? How did that saying come about? If it doesn't hurt us, like if we're not ready to like say, stop, you're hurting me. Can you imagine if every time you heard a negative thought from somebody, practice that, say, ow, you're hurting me. It should be that way. Our Christian souls need to be that sensitive. Because guess what? That's Christ. That's the soul of the Lord, if you will. When he hears like all of that, like killing of each other, harms him. It hurts his, you know. It's the reason he goes up on the cross, hopefully, to take all that onto himself. Okay? So if you're not being hurt when anything negative happens, like when you're not like ready to be in tears over it, it simply means that my conscience is not soft. My skin is very thick. I put up the insulation to keep heaven out somehow and to keep this gospel out of my ears. So whenever you're tempted, go back to this gospel. What good is it if I love those who love me back? It's a baby step. It's a baby step. It's excellent when I love those who never have loved me and who don't even express that they want to love me. Okay, now there's somebody that I can love. There's somebody that I can pour the energy of Christ out there. That's our challenge. It's a big one. It's a big one. But it's the least we can do, right? Well, God gives us a few years here on this earth to do something. Well, guess what? Do something. Do something.